watch me dance.
All right, Jeff Blum will join us here in a moment. The Astros at Fenway down 2-1. They got smoked last night. And we're tracking the Dodgers-Braves game, game three at Dodger Stadium. And the Leafs are not in action until Friday night. And I saw Kristen Shilton write an article about Mitch Marner and his frame of mind, where I thought he played much better on Saturday night. I thought he was buzzing last night. But he's a point collector. He's a guy that's chasing triple digits, right? He wants 100 points, and he's starting off the season with one, you know, through four games. That's going to be frustrating. Like, it's, I think at some point the levy will break here, and he'll start unloading on some points. But it's not the start to the season he was clearly expecting, based on the nature of his play and what he's capable of putting up offensively.
He's got to just continue with the work. That's the one thing when you're a skilled player. And Mitch Marner, I don't think a lot of people understand, when he plays really well, he's the hardest working guy out there. He's always dogging the puck, chasing the puck. Mm-hmm. So if he just continues with the work, all he needs is a lucky one. There's just no way it's going to continue, right? Right. Friday night, I'm telling you, these guys will destroy everything. I'm predicting it.
Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me. San Jose coming off a back-to-back, not a great team anyway. They had some comments about Evander Kane today. We'll try to get to those later on. Not looking good for his future in San Jose. When the players are like, nah, we'll figure it out if he's coming back. That's not exactly support, you know, public support.
Agreed.
Here is longtime MLB-er. He's an analyst down in Houston. The Astros are now 2-1. They're back in action at Fenway tonight. Zach Greinke on the mound. Here is Jeff Blum back on Overdrive. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. How scary are these Red Sox bats right now? I know Houston's capable of keeping up with anyone, if not being a pace car offensively, but Boston's bats have carried over from the DS. They are so dialed in right now. That's got to be somewhat terrifying for the Houston Astros.
It's extremely terrifying alone on itself, just because that offense is so good. You know, the addition of Kyle Schwarber to that lineup, you keep hearing guys talk about it, how much of an impact he's had. But you really start to see it with the selectivity some of these hitters have, and now with some of the pitching issues that the Astros are having, and that just compounds the fact and makes those Red Sox hitters that much more dangerous. So I'm happy I'm a fan right now and not having to try and break down a lot of these in-game situations, because it has not been pretty at all for Astros pitching against these hitters.
No, it hasn't. And now you got Zach Greinke on the mound tonight. You know, a grizzled vet, a guy who's been there, he's been through the ringer. What do you expect his approach to be like tonight?
Well, I tell you what, he had a rough end of the season. He was on the COVID protocol for a little while, and then he eventually ended up having neck stiffness, and it took him out of a couple of starts. And by the time he was ready to come back, he wasn't really stretched out. So they used him out of the bullpen for a couple of innings. And I think that was the idea coming into the playoffs, is to have him be kind of that middle guy to maybe build a bridge from the starter to the back end of the bullpen. But now with the issues that the Astros are having with the loss of Lance McCullers Jr., Luis Garcia coming out of his start early, it has really forced Zach Greinke to get into that starting rotation and try and give the Astros, you know, some length. I think if they actually got three innings out of him, they would be pretty happy about that right now, because that would be way more than they've gotten in any of their starters in the first three games.
What the heck happens to pitchers in the postseason? It's like, you just said it, like, wait. We need to get three innings out of a guy, where it's just, I don't know what it is about the postseason. Some of the best, it's like two or three and it's game over. How does that happen in the postseason? What goes on?
It's amazing, because in years past, we've really seen very good pitching put down some very good hitters. And I think it's the exact opposite this season, where good hitters have really gotten to some decent pitching. And, you know, throughout the course of the season for the Houston Astros, Urquidy was a solid starter. Luis Garcia in his first full season did a fantastic job. And Lance McCullers was lights out. So you get to the postseason and all of a sudden it seems like some of their weaknesses are getting exposed. But you guys know as well as I do, when we're watching these games and you start to be a little bit too fine on the edges and you realize you're facing a team that is barreling up everything, all of a sudden you fall behind, you're in a hitter's count, or you walk a guy and you've got traffic everywhere. It puts pressure not just on the defense, but on, you know, the ability to throw a good strike and an effective strike. And there's really no – I don't see the Astro pitchers setting up the Red Sox. I don't see them pitching in. I don't see them making the Red Sox uncomfortable, but I hope that, you know, here early and quick, maybe Zach Greinke does take advantage of the opportunity to make these guys uncomfortable and move their feet a little bit.
We're chatting with Jeff Blum. As we look on the NLCS side of things, we're tracking the game right now, and the Braves are rallying in the fourth. It's now tied 2-2. The Dodgers are up 2-0. Austin Riley with a big double, the deep center field, getting things cooking. My boy Austin Riley, and next thing you know, the game is tied.
You've never heard of the guy before.
It looks as if Walker Buehler is starting to freak out, and here's a perfect example of what we're talking about. Buehler is, you know, the definition of a stud. It's different. It's different on the National League side of things in terms of how you might use your bullpen and how you approach the actual game planning here, but the Braves, you just can't count them out. I mean, all they do is come back. The first two games were a perfect example of that, and the Dodgers with a borderline must-win here in Game 3. They're up 2-0 early, and already Atlanta's tied it up in the top of the fourth. What can you say about the persistence of a team like the Atlanta Braves?
The Atlanta Braves are fun to watch. It's amazing to me that they're doing this while Ronald Acuna is on the sideline watching this game. You know, he's a dynamic force in that lineup. You know, picking up Jock Peterson, the ex-Dodger, he's come up with some big hits. I think he also had an RBI hit in this game. But, you know, never underestimate a team that is playing uphill, so to speak, and doesn't have the expectation that the Dodgers do. And it really seems like, you know, Snitker, for the manager for the Braves, has really kind of galvanized these guys, brought them together, and got and has them believing. And you can't underestimate a group of guys who believe and play well together, and they've really put things together. The fact that they're getting this many base runners against that pitching staff of the Dodgers amazes me. I'm with you in the sense that Walker Buehler is a lights-out future ace of the Dodgers, and he's been getting beat around. I don't know if it's fatigue or some of his pitches are flattening out, or it could just be that some of these hitters have figured him out. But I was blown away the other day to watch Dave Roberts take Max Scherzer out of that game after 79 pitches. I know that Scherzer said that his arm was a little bit dead, but I'm not sure that, you know, Friedman and those guys over there in L.A. traded away so many prospects to have a guy taken out in the third, fourth inning of a playoff game. They've got to figure out a way to get some depth, because before we know it, it's going to be similar to 2017 when Dave Roberts ran through that bullpen and they were just shredded.
You just mentioned Jock Peterson, and he's got quite a scene going on right now. He's got a skullet. He's got the dye job. And he's breaking the mold. I know baseball players love their jewelry. They love their necklaces. He's going with pearls. Have you ever in your life seen anything like that routine that he's got going on right now?
Yeah, I'm assuming this is a family show, so I'm not going to talk about the pearl necklace too much. But he's gone like the polar opposite, you know, from one end of the spectrum where you've got guys with bling and diamonds and ice and black diamonds and all of the, you know, these emblems, you know, like Verdugo does for the Boston Red Sox, and then you've got Jock Peterson who went straight, you know, he
pearls,
went old,
straight
old
pearls.
School
pearls.
With the pearls,
right? Yeah. I don't.
It's listen. Like he raided his grandma's jewelry box and said, "I'm going with this," and it's going crazy in Atlanta. All the fans are wearing them. It's perfect.
Oh yeah, that's all you need, man. And listen, now they're up 3-2. The rally is in effect. They got the bases loaded on Buehler. Things are
believe in the pearls.
It could be the pearls. Absolutely,
we do, Jock.
Always appreciate the time, Jeff. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
No, you guys are a blast. Great being on with you. Thank you.
There he is, Jeff Blum, Astros analyst, longtime MLB-er.